All right, everybody, we'll go ahead and get started. Maybe this meeting won't last too long. If this turns into a Q&A time where y'all are asking me questions and I have to answer them off the cuff, I'm probably going to fail miserably in that because I usually choke and do a bad job in in circumstances like that. But I'll do a great job on my way home in the car, in the truck or van answering the question. But if you put me on the spot here, I may not do so well. But if you do have some question, I'll try to process that and answer. But just kind of want to share with you all, as we've stated, what my vision, for lack of a better word, for the church would be in us moving forward. And I don't know that anything that I'm sharing with you today will take you by surprise. But I do want to read one part of our Constitution and Bylaws. It's number 6 under the pastor section, where, I don't know that I'm finding the right one, but somewhere in here it says that when the position of the pastor is vacant, that the elders will decide upon a pastor, present that to the church, and the church will affirm, should affirm, has to affirm that by a vote. Now, the way things are set up right now is, of course, it's just David and myself. I have the desire to be a senior pastor, to be the pastor of New Life Baptist Church, and David agrees with that. He and I have talked about it, obviously, and as he's already stated last month in our business meeting, that he agrees with that and presents that to the church as me as a candidate for that position, needing to be affirmed by the church. As I said, it's kind of awkward because it's the two of us, and that's why your voice is so important. The church membership at New Life Baptist Church, if you all do not believe that that is a good fit or right fit for this congregation, then your vote is needed and is important. Or if you believe that it is, then that affirmation is important as well. So we don't really see any point in beating around the bush about it. Need to go ahead and try to move forward with that. We have not discerned from the Lord in any way that we should not go forward in that direction. And he and I both believe it's the will of the Lord. So, but again, your vote and your voice is important in that. Let's go ahead and go with the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this time. We can gather together to talk about your church and the future of it here at New Life Baptist Church. I pray, Father, that you would guide us to do your will. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would move among us in the coming weeks so that, Lord, what is truly best for this congregation would occur. And God, we pray you'll give us wisdom. We pray you'll give us discernment. We pray, Lord, that you will give us steadfastness. And Lord, just a passion for the glory of God, for the magnifying of Jesus Christ in our midst. And Lord, we trust you and we need you, Lord, to manifest what your will is for us concerning the issue and the topic of pastor position here at New Life Baptist Church. And we trust you, Lord. We look forward to you doing that. We believe that you will make that clear to us. And we just pray these things, Lord, in the name of Jesus, who gave his life for his bride, the church. Lord, whatever we care for this church, we know that Christ loves this church much more than we do. And I just pray, God, that we'll be good stewards of this body of believers here at New Life Baptist Church. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to talk to you kind of personally, if I can find my paper, for a moment, kind of where I am, you know. If you've known me very long, you know I'm a great sinner. And I believe that I am the chief of sinners. According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul said that about himself. But I believe it to be true about me. And left to myself, I'm capable of anything. And it's but for the grace of God in me that I can walk with him and serve him, do anything at all for his glory, for his name's sake. I truly believe that about myself, but I'm thankful that God takes us and uses us who are clay pots. We are jars that we have the treasure of the gospel in. And Paul translated that. That could be translated as a garbage can. We're really not about us, but it's about the gospel in us and God using that gospel in a lost world to save the lost. But yet, those who are called to pastors of positions such as pastor, leadership in the church are called to a higher standard, and I recognize that as well. You know, it would be my desire and goal to be governed by Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said to Timothy, "Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering." And he said also in 1 Timothy chapter 3, as you know, that he laid out the qualifications for an elder, that I believe that I am held to that standard. As well as in 1 Peter chapter 5, he sort of lays out the heart of it and how an elder is to serve. And that's one that we're maybe not so familiar with, but I'll read it for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." So Peter wrote that to elders that he knew, and we see there really the heart, the motivation behind someone who would serve as a pastor or an elder at New Life Baptist Church. And I want you to know that that would be another governing passage in my life that I would be seeking to be obedient to. The whole serving, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not in it for the money, but eagerly, not as lords, but as examples to the flock. And then finally, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, this is such a powerful verse. But here, the writer said, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." As standing here, and I understand as being a pastor of a congregation, that means that I, fellow elders, are responsible for your souls. We'll give an account for it. And what that means is there may be times where hard things have to be said. Because shepherds sometimes have to do hard things that are best for the flock. I can tell you right now, it will not always be easy for us. And if we're going to live godly lives as Christians, as a church, then we can be sure it's not going to always be easy. But we're striving together in love for the same purpose and for the same cause. So I kind of want to lay out some of those governing passages that I think of when it comes to the office or the position of a pastor. Now, I want to go next to the screen, and if you would pull up the website. And have y'all looked at the website yet? Do y'all know what it used to look like? A little bit. This one, I think, is going to be a little more useful to us, but that's the home page. And then you can scroll down. And this is really good. I can tell you all about the website later, but click on purpose right there. If you'll scroll up. So, three words. Four words there, simple, biblical, God-glorifying. This will not but take you by surprise, the purpose statement. But the purpose statement of New Life Baptist Church is to be a thriving community of Christ followers striving together for the faith of the gospel. Guess what my vision for this church is? It is that we would be a thriving community of Christ followers striving together for the faith of the gospel. That we would really be what we purpose to be. And I've noted there that our purpose as a church is derived from a couple of New Testament passages. Here they are. If you'll go ahead and scroll up a little bit more. Philippians 1, 27 through 30, particular verse 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Verse 27 in particular. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, the next passage down there says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Well, I'll pick up on that last of sentence. First of all, if New Life Baptist, however New Life Baptist Church grows in the future, as people are saved, disciples are made, it will be because the Lord added to the church. Not because of any gimmicks or who the pastor is or isn't or whatever, but it's because the Lord added to the church, because the gospel changes lives. But there are certain things in these two passages, and we could look at many others, but we've narrowed it down to these two, that help us to see what a church ought to be about. And going back up to Philippians chapter 1, we see that we need to be one mind, one spirit, and we need to have one purpose. And that one purpose is to strive together for the faith of the gospel. It's not about us and building our kingdom, but it's about the gospel and Christ being known throughout the world. And we see also in Acts chapter 2 that the church continues steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I'm going to kind of talk about some of these right now. You know, when you think about being a thriving community, thriving means growing, flourishing, prospering, blooming, blossoming, doing well, advancing, succeeding are all synonyms for thrive. And for us as a church, thriving will look like a lot of what we see in Acts chapter 2 and Philippians chapter 1. It will look like, characterized it in this ways. It'd be Christ-centered and Bible-saturated, where we love others and have meaningful church membership. Now, Christ must be the center. And it would be my vision that Christ would be the center of our lives and as individuals and as a church. We would be Bible-saturated. I believe that many of us give lip service to the Bible, but we don't really love God's Word and seek to take it in, because we realize that we go to it like medicine. Without it, we will not get better. We need the Word of God in our lives on a daily basis. And it would be my hope and goal and vision for New Life Baptist Church is that when we come to the Word of God, we are really a people who are passionate about God's Word. Why are we passionate about it? Because we love Jesus Christ and we want to know Him more. And we know that the only way we're going to know Him more is if we know Him through His Word. And we're hearing the shepherd's voice and following Him. Now, what does that look like? Here's what I believe that it must look like. I believe that we as a congregation can and should have a vision to striving more toward being able to effectively teach every different age group, every different people from the cradle to the grave, or from the womb to the tomb. All the way, we need to be seeking to preach the Word of God, to teach the Word of God, to make disciples of everyone in this congregation. And that will mean service for many of us. That will mean some of us beginning to teach, and instead of just taking in, we're pouring out. While many of us serve in different capacities around here, folks, we cannot be a healthy church if we have 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. You know your average church in America has 20% of the people doing 80% of the work? Average isn't good enough for me when it comes to the Lord's church. This is the body of Christ, the bride of Jesus Christ, and settling for good enough, that's just not good enough. And where we grow in that to where we don't have 20% of the people doing 80% of the work, but we are really an active body where everybody is serving in some capacity. You're on a missions team or a building and grounds team, or you're on a benevolence team, or you're serving as an elder or a deacon, but in some way, in some capacity, every believer in this congregation is a part of this body. And what is the ultimate goal of even our grounds outside? It's the gospel. It's reflecting the God for whom we serve, because we are striving to know Him and we're living as a thriving community. Therefore, what is around us shows that we are a thriving community. I don't know if that makes any sense or not, but I hope that it does. But we've got to be Bible saturated. A focus to the Word of God, to discipling others, to teaching the Word, to learning the Word, to proclaiming the Word, to realizing that without the Word, we're sunk. And then the next point that I would share here is the loving others kind of goes into the what I just said about being Bible saturated, but loving others will go also fall along with striving together for the faith of the gospel. But loving others, obviously, our love for one another is what Jesus say about that? Is how men will what? Know that you're what? My disciples. So New Life Baptist Church is a loving church. And I don't think we've arrived, but I think you love each other, and I think that's a beautiful, wonderful thing. And we've got to nurture that, and we can continue to grow in that. But we find also here meaningful membership. Membership at this church needs to be valued. If you are a member, you ought to value that membership. You ought to realize how precious it is and what a great opportunity that you have to serve the kingdom of God through this local body. If you're not a member, and I know that we've had attenders for a long time, I would ask you to reconsider that, because this congregation needs men. It needs women, godly men and women who can teach the Word. And if you are not a member of this congregation, you are taking yourself out of that list of options for those who can disciple in a classroom setting, in a Sunday school class on a Wednesday night, that you can teach the Word of God to boys and girls, men and women here in this congregation. And I would ask you to consider it in this way. Most of us, if you are married or if you're planning on getting married, it's most likely that if you were going to get married or if you have been married, that you had a wedding, right? And the wife put on a wedding dress, right? And most of us, if we're married, we have on a wedding ring, right? And we've done all of those formal things for marriage. But when it comes to church membership, sometimes we think, well, that's not in the Bible, so I just shouldn't do that. But the fact is, all those things that you just said that you did concerning your marriage are not in the Bible. Doesn't say anything about putting on a wedding dress.
Doesn't say anything about having a ceremony. Doesn't say anything about wearing a wedding ring, but yet you do that. Why? Because you're showing commitment and you're celebrating something that's wonderful. There are pictures of it, but it doesn't say to go and do it. And I would say it's the same thing with church membership. There's pictures of it all over the place. Look up the word member or members in the New Testament. It's everywhere because we are members of one another. And it's the same way in that. Why would we not join membership of this congregation? Because we are committing to it. And we're saying to the elders of the congregation, yes, I fall under your leadership. And I want you to watch out after our souls because we know you will give an account. And we don't want you as an elder to wonder whether you should do that or not. We submit to your leadership. Church membership, I submit to you, is a very important thing, and it is important for the future of this congregation. As I said earlier, I view in the future, as far as the vision of this church, where every member has a part. Coming and being complacent at New Life Baptist Church should be uncomfortable for you. If you're here and you're complacent in your Christianity, then being here should make you very uncomfortable. Because everybody here is striving together for the faith of the gospel. We're serving in some capacity for the good of this congregation, for the glory of God and the promotion of the gospel. I do not want New Life Baptist Church, as a shepherd of this flock, if I were to be that in the senior pastor position, I don't want to stand before the Lord one day and give an account to why the church that I was pastor over was complacent and lukewarm. Would you? I would not. I do not want to do that. So by the grace of God, I will do what I, the elders, we can to help us to grow together and to be active in the Lord's work. Let's talk about striving together for the gospel very quickly. And as we come to this point, you know, it comes down to the fact that we're really gospel driven, because individually, we as a church, when we go out and we're engaged in the public life, we're evangelists. We preach the gospel. We share the gospel. Man, you take a church that's active doing that, that's a beautiful thing. That doesn't mean everybody that you evangelize is going to be saved. But what it means is that we take being a Christian serious, and we want to be about the Lord's work and getting the gospel out. So individually, we're doing that, but corporately, we have evangelistic efforts, which we've done in the past, and as the Lord opens up doors in the future, we would continue to do. But also, man, we're active in missions. We've supported missionaries over the years, and go ahead and go to, there's a missions, let's see, go back up. Yeah, right there, missions. So this gives a list. I think there's a couple that actually need to be taken out of this list. But this gives a list of the missionaries that we support. Continue to go on up. And then at the bottom is a summary of the mission trips that New Life Baptist Church has taken part in over the years. That's great. And so a foundation has kind of been laid for us in this area already. And we as a church have great opportunity. We live in the United States of America, one of the richest nations in the history of the world, if not the richest, and one of the most affluent societies. We live in Huntsville, Alabama, where people make money around here. They make nice salaries, good salaries. And we must have a church that has a mindset that we're not living to build up our accounts, but that money can be used for others. It can be used evangelistically in our community. It can be used to help others in our community, but it can be used for missions around the world. And it would be my prayer, my hope, my desire that one day New Life Baptist Church would, out of the about 2,000, I think, people groups, 1,600, 1,700 people groups in the world that are unreached, that we could adopt a people group one day. And that New Life Baptist Church would send a missionary out from our congregation to live among that people group to preach the gospel to them, and we will give sacrificially to support that missionary who's on the field. Right out of our midst, they would be going to that unreached people group. It may be one of these kids that are sitting here today that 10, 15 years from now, God calls them to go as we pray and have sought His face in that area, and then God actually raises them up and sends them out. As far as missions goes, that's what I see for us as a congregation. And I say there's no excuse. The resources are there. It's just in your accounts. It's in our accounts. And to send someone and to provide for them on the field. So that's the vision in that. But that will be surrounded by short-term mission trips. That will be surrounded by other efforts such as that remind us of the lost people in the world which need to hear the gospel. Now, all of that is really flows from this desk. As the Word of God is opened and preached, the whole counsel of God, from Genesis to Revelation. And as the Word of God is preached, and we realize that when we come in these doors that we can't check our brains at the doors. I want to be 10 times better preacher in the future than I am right now. I'm sorry, I'm not very good right now. I want to be better. I don't want to settle for where I am right now. I don't want to be complacent where I am right now. I want to be the best that I can be for the glory of God. And as we preach God's Word, as we articulate the Word of God and the gospel, our lives will be transformed and this church will continue to be molded and shaped like a biblical church ought to be. I don't think we're there yet. But the Lord has used us and is doing great things through us even now. And we want to continue to see Him to work and do greater things. I think that probably covers most of it. And just to be clear, I would want, and I believe we must be. It's not just what I want, but I believe that we must be a church that is discipling children, youth, young adults, single adults, young couples, married couples, married with children, everyone. I don't know what all that will look like, but I believe that we must be intentional in those areas. I think that's pretty well it. What questions do y'all have? Again, I told you, I don't like Q&As necessarily, but if you have a question, I'll write it down and try to get back with you, or I'll do my best to answer it right now. It's on. Should I speak up a little bit?
When Andy was here, obviously both Ron and someone's salary or some type of pastoral salary. Can
y'all hear in the cry room?
No.
They can't hear in the cry room.
Right, when Andy was here, you guys were both on a pastoral salary. And as Ping, you know, demonstrates each time he presents the financial position of the church, there's been a lot of behind the eight ball a little bit financially. With Andy leaving, what does that mean to the financial position of the church now, you know, having that salary freed up? And what is it possible for you to continue on the salary that you have, or would there be an expectation of a little bit more for you now that Andy's just freed up? Or what's the vision there financially for the church with Andy's salary no longer being a part?
I don't know if that's a question that's appropriate for me to answer. I'm able to live on the salary that I make. The church has been very generous over the years, for which I'm very thankful for. And my wife's been able to stay at home and take care of the kids, and so I appreciate the church so much for that. As far as you know, my salary and things like that, that's something that the deacons and the elder would need to discuss and talk about in the future. I probably wouldn't turn any money down, but that's something I'd rather them try to answer in that. And of course, the financial state of the church is in a better place now since Brother Andy has left, and it frees us up to be able to do some things that we probably need to do. Did you want to talk about that, Ken?
Yeah, I was just going to say the leadership discusses that, and we've raised the salary back up after we were able to, after they had taken a pay cut for a while because of financial purposes, and we pay them as good as we can, and we affirm or assert that they deserve a lot more than we can pay them. But any ideas you have, any thoughts that you have on that, you can mention to any of the deacons or elders, and we will discuss that in our monthly meetings. It works now. Next question.
Did that answer that well enough for us?
No, actually, what I hope would be the answer is that the church could get back from
being in the hole standpoint, being able to free up, and then also being able to ensure that you're able to financially, as the senior pastor, continue to lead the church in that way.
Well,
so I'm glad to hear that answer.
And we're thankful to say that for the month of May, we were in the black. It was, I think, about $700, but it looks like in June we'll be in the black, likely $3,000 to $4,000, is the way it kind of looks right now.
You mean in the red?
I think we haven't seen that from Felicia yet, but black means good. Yeah, black is good, red's bad. You hear somebody say you're in the red, and that means you're spending more than you're bringing in. And again, I don't know those numbers exactly, but according to the giving and what our normal expenses are, last month should have been pretty good. Aaron has...
Thought I'd throw some pitches at you. I know that in the past we've talked about the possibility of joining some affiliations. Like I think Andy in the past had mentioned, like maybe joining the Southern Baptist Convention or other potential Baptist denominations. And I was just curious if you had in mind to go that route or not. And then I know that we were also, loosely affiliated with, and I forget the term, but the family integrated churches. And I was wondering if you had any vision for that, or if we're sort of coming away from that. Or I guess I'm just sort of curious if you foresee New Life Baptist Church being a part of any sort of affiliations like that. And not that it really impacts me at all, but I was just sort of curious, and I thought people might like to hear if you do have any sort of idea.
Decisions like that would ultimately be made with a agreement of the elders. If being a part of the Southern Baptist, and I personally am not opposed to being a part of the Southern Baptist Convention, not one bit, because I think a cooperation with other churches is biblical and good. And if we can cooperate with others in the area of missions, if we can cooperate with other churches in our association, in our area for the good of the gospel, then we're kind of not being smart if we don't do that. If we can cooperate with other churches and have opportunity for short-term missions, long-term and short-term missions, if the doors would open through that, then I'm all about it. But as far as leading in that direction, is something that I might would talk to the elders and deacons about, but I don't have any time frame on doing that. But doing what is best for this congregation is on my mind, and if that's part of it, then I would be interested in it. As far as the family integrated churches, that's not something that I am pursuing, but it's also not something I'm trying to kill. I think that we're on a website or two of family integrated churches. I don't see any point in changing any of that. And I think the whole family integrated movement has kind of changed over the years. I don't know if it's what it used to be. I know it's certainly changed in our mentality around here as we've seen people, children in particular, and teens who were kind of neglected in discipleship. So if that puts a damper on family integration, then I don't know that we're really too family integrated to begin with, because we met together, as Brother Andy said so often, we met together and sat together, but as soon as we divided, everybody went to their own group and hung out. So I don't have any plans as far as family integration, as far as cooperating with other churches. I am for it, but it would be something that we move together as leadership in that direction. And I don't have a time frame for that. Byron?
Family integrated, but is there like an actual association? And
not that I know of.
Is that
not
pretty
that
loose?
Yes, it's pretty loose.
We're on the website for NCFIC, probably still. That was Doug Phillips' organization a long time ago, National Center for Family Integrated Church. And every once in a while, people come here or call us about that. They find us because of that.
That's how we found you.
Yeah.
So you did a Google search?
Yes.
Yeah. NCFIC emphasized intergenerational discipleship, basically, and that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And we are trying to learn how to do that better.
Yeah.
It won't be hard. I just want to know a little bit about how LCA fits into this new world here at church. Your involvement, also just how we will view the ministry of LCA.
I don't know all the details to that. I know that I want my involvement to be less, because I believe the local church is more important than a Christian school. And I believe that I know that I want to pour my heart and life into the local church. And LCA is a ministry of that. So not to the neglect of that, but LCA could not be my priority and me do the job that I need to do for this church. So I don't think that the ministry of that would change a lot in the near future, and I also don't even know if it would change in the far future. But I think that I need to shift some responsibilities, and I'm trying to do that already in the event that I'm affirmed as the pastor, so that I can get not have to carry some of the load and responsibility of LCA, so that I can study, preach, pray, have a vision, continue to develop the vision for New Life Baptist Church, and work to make this church a healthy body. That's all I really know about that right now. You know, Joy is going to take up some more responsibility, Ms. Brown, and the other ladies in the office to that end. I don't see anything changing, though, greatly concerning LCA. I guess my influence day in and day out might be different, and that could bring some changes, and probably in a good way. But but that's all I know on that right now. We can't be a church of homeschoolers. We've got to be a church of Christ-following believers. It doesn't matter if you're public school or homeschool or private school or whatever school you are, we're disciples of Jesus Christ, and we're working together in community for the faith of the gospel. That's what it's about. I don't want to grow a homeschooled church. I think that's unhealthy. We got to be everybody. Anybody and everybody is welcome to come here. And feel comfortable. If you're a private schooler, or if you're a homeschooler, or if you're a public schooler, you shouldn't feel like an oddball when you come to church here. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a common, we are all standing fast in Christ. He is the one that brings us together. Not our homeschooling, not our this or our that. It's Christ. Any other questions? Drums will be on stage right after the vote. Yeah, got to have the cage around it. I'm just joking about the drums. But I'll tell you this, I'm not opposed to any instrument, so long as it's done in a good way for the glory of God. I don't really care what's up here on this stage, so long as it's bringing praise and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it benefits and helps us and adds to our worship service and doesn't detract from it. So that's where I stand on that. Anything else? Nothing? David, you got anything? All right. Well, maybe that hasn't scared you all too much. I think I've got the big picture. It's pretty solidly biblical as far as I understand. But the working out of the details of it will come over time. And as we trust the Lord and pray and opportunities open and ideas come and we work together, it's not just the elders and deacons doing things around here, folks. We've all got to be involved. If we're all not being involved, then we're not thriving. But when we start being involved and all working together for the same purpose, then we're a thriving community of Christ followers. All right, Ken, will you pray for us and we'll be dismissed?
You ordain the church, you picture the church in the scriptures. Dear Father, we see that you love the church. Dear Father, we just ask your blessings on us. Dear Father, you pour out your spirit upon us. Father, we desire that you be glorified, that your name be lifted up. Dear Father, we desire that all men would know you and worship you. We ask that you use us for productive things in glorifying yourself and exposing people here in our community to the gospel. We thank you for the way you blessed us in the past, and Father, we desire and we expect that you'll bless us in the future, which will grow us and make us useful in the kingdom of God. I ask that you bless Eric as he seeks to minister to us. I ask that you strengthen and guide him in all his ways. Just direct him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank y'all for being here. You're dismissed.